Blog Talk Radio.
Well, after about a month off, I'm back. This is Scott Hensler on Scott Hensler Network. A lot has happened in the past 30 days since I've been on the air. It is a tremendous amount of demonic activity, and it is literally starting from all angles. When an explosion goes off in the midst of people, unfortunately, like we saw at the Boston bombing, chaos ensues. People panic, there is injuries, there is death, there is blood, there is literally tissue, arms flying everywhere. And in that instant, that moment, your mind goes into overdrive. It's like slow motion. The trauma overtakes you. There's a fight or flight. And at that moment, you're literally gripped with the delusion that this is not happening. It is a surreal situation that those who are not trained for such events, those who are in the military who are trained, can react. And even at any moment or any time, they too can be confused. And it's certainly understandable. I understand the pressures behind explosive devices are so tremendous that if we have not experienced them, it's hard for us to comprehend the amount of pressure that is applied to our bodies. Thousands of pounds of square inch per square inch can be applied to our bodies. That can literally rip the clothes off, literally take limbs off, literally tear holes in us. And the reason that I equate this teaching tonight, where have all the good men gone, is that in the instance of disaster, there really isn't anyone here to take a stand. So when the bomb went off in Boston, the tragic behind that, one, it happened in the United States, it happened to innocent people, their lives were completely changed and altered. The devastation that went through that town because of the martial law that was declared, going house to house, confiscating guns, going into homes that had nothing to do with these guys. Since this whole thing was staged as a false flag, was another attempt to quench, to suppress our constitutional rights. And they were very successful at it because there was very little opposition. And that opposition should come from pastors, should come from the leaders themselves within the county, within the state, and it did not happen. It did not happen because all the good men are gone. And what it means is that that Satan has over the centuries strategically placed people within our government, within our institutions of teaching, of learning, of higher education. And they've corrupted them. These individuals are either of the Luciferian doctrine, which falls under Freemasonry, which is under the auspices of the Illuminati. And for those who think that this is nothing more than a conspiracy theory, it is a conspiracy fact. What is a conspiracy? Well, it's two or more people conspiring against others. And the Illuminati, which goes all the way back to Nimrod, which has been in play For several hundred years here in the United States, we even had the Freemasons on the Mayflower when they came here, so side by side with the Christians, that there's been a war going on for our minds. And when those who are able to control the definition of words, to influence the laws at hand, to corrupt the laws, to corrupt those people who make the laws, and to corrupt those people who enforce the laws. That's law enforcement, such as police, deputies, sheriffs, marshals, FBI, all the way up through the judges, the ones who give the ruling on the situation. So we see that this country, over the years, has had a bomb go off. And now we're literally staggering around in disbelief from the percussion, the pressure that's really been applied to our brains that has got us in a state of disillusion. Because I've had high voltage transformers, switching devices literally explode within a foot of my face and chest. And it is the grace of God that I'm here to stand and talk to you today, that his divine intervention kept me from losing my eyes, from losing appendages on my face, my nose, my ears, from burning the hair right off of my face. Now, the devices that I used to work on were very old, and they should have been decommissioned a long time ago. And some of the work that I did was just that. But unfortunately, in situations when you have 118 degrees weather outside and you have acres and acres and acres of roses or particular vegetables or particular plants that require that at no time under that heat, you know, being the Arizona desert, this is where it all took place, that there could not be an interruption of water for any given length of time. And so the immediate turnaround was essential. Same thing with residential areas. You could imagine not having water at the fire plug, the fire hose, the hydrant where the fire department would connect their pumps to, their hoses to put out a fire. If that water stops, there is no water to put out a fire. If good men do nothing, then evil will prevail. So there's literally no water in their pumps. They're not coming forward as the men of God that God has intended them to be, to take that step out, knowing full well if they're in Christ, that God will protect them as long as they're under his will, the grace will cover them. Well, when fear and programming of being politically correct keeps you from being who God called you to be, then that really curses you. Because God has called you to be a man of God, to be a woman of God, to be the pastor, the preacher, the evangelist, the teacher, to teach the Word of God. And in that Word of God is the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. And without the movement forward to pray for people, to heal them, to cover them, to deliver them of evil, of the spirits that have been infested in them from the crimes that were perpetrated against them as children, as young adults, and even today with the mass spread of homosexuality, with drug abuse, with sex outside of marriage. The bomb is literally the spirits being hurled at you at supersonic speed, and you're left in a daze as to wondering what happened. Now, we go back to the turn of the century for seminaries, that the Illuminati has strategically been placing within them those who are of the Luciferian doctrine, of the occult, that do not believe. Well, they believe in God. Let's just say they know there is a God, but they also believe that Lucifer is a God, and that he's been mistreated. He hasn't been treated fairly. He got a bad rap, you know, a bum deal. No, that's not the case. He went against the Most High God. Now, let's go back to what is truth. Truth is a baseline of fact. It either is or it isn't. It's either white or black. There is no gray area. Anything that is half truth is a lie. So if it is corrupted, if truth is corrupted, then it comes in base from a lie, because Lucifer is a master in lying. He's the king of lying. He is literally the basis of evil. Now, some churches teach that evil is only within the hearts of man and hell doesn't exist. That is a lie, because they read from the Bible, but yet they do not take it literally, because the Scripture tells us that in his attempt, Satan, Lucifer, to raise himself above God, and in attempting to be a god, was cast out. Now, he still roams the planet. He's still in the second heaven, the spirit realm. He's able to manifest into the physical. He's able to come as an angel of light, as meaning deception. So he can come as looking like he's truth, but he's not. So he's a deception that is literally to manifest itself in the hearts of man, giving man what they desperately want, since our hearts are wicked. Now, why are we wicked? Well, we're a fallen race. We're fallen from the Garden of Eden. The basis of who God made us to be was under a protection as long as sin did not enter. And Satan, being jealous that we were created in the image of man, his whole premise was to come in and deceive Eve. Notice it was the woman first. Adam was created, then Eve. Man, Adam, was put in charge of the garden. He was the one that should have grabbed Satan by the throat, by the reptile slithering neck, and thrown him out. But he didn't. Because his inability to comprehend evil, though he did not know it, he didn't understand it. So let's look at this in a fine point, because if you've never seen evil, then you don't know it exists. And so by not teaching evil in the churches, meaning that there is good and there is bad, they're teaching everything is wonderful. We're going to be raptured out of here. We're not going to see any of this stuff. It was all done on the cross. We don't have to pray. We don't have to war. Satan can't do anything to us Christians. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell. That when Christ died on the cross, he gave us the power and authority to stand against the enemy. Now, why would we have to stand against something that is not a threat? Why are our borders wide open when we have Ebola, when we have ISIS, when we have jihad, when we have all this evil that is literally pouring into the United States and Texas and New Mexico and Arizona and California? I lived in Arizona for 47 years. I assisted in law enforcement as a man tracker, worked homicides and evidence retrieval, prisoner handling, patrolling. I had the firsthand experience to see evil, meaning that criminals who have been infested with demons, who thought that they were giving a right to do the crimes that they did. Satan literally thinks he has a right to do what he did, because he self-proclaimed he's a narcissist. He's the first narcissist. So therefore, since he is rejecting God and has chosen to be the opposite of God, then he is evil. And not to teach evil, not to show or to say, well, we shouldn't talk about demons because you're giving them your lift. No, you need to know your enemy. You need to know that the person coming up the hill to your home, whether they are a friend or a foe. And if they are a friend, has there been a situation that has caused their hearts to turn? Because we see in the last days that men's hearts will fail them for fear. Now, if you're in a tight situation where you are hungry, where you are scared, where you are cold, where you are thirsty, you probably will do things you would not normally do. That's why we see cannibalism as early as 15 days after all food has been eliminated. Now think about that. The society that we're in right now in the United States, whether you're in California, whether you're in Texas or Pennsylvania, that at any time if an EMP attack, an electromagnetic pulse that would cause the grid to go down, or that germ warfare, such as Ebola was released, or any of the others, chemical war, or let's just say that that the boots on the ground that we have here because of Obama, because of the Bushes, that when the martial law is declared, that they're going to literally confiscate, they're going to remove, they're going to eliminate all aspects of God. That means those professing Christians will be the first ones attacked. And though you may not be a Christian, if you believe in the Constitution, you're next. If you're on the fence and you're not willing to devote yourself to this evil empire that is coming, then you will most likely be swept up and taken to the concentration camps, which will be the FEMA camps, and or you will be eliminated on the spot because you're not able to make your decision. But we will see that there will be a great deal of people who will go along with it. Because, one, the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. And if anybody reads that out of another version of the Bible, like NIV or some of the others, you're not getting the full point. The King James or the New King James does a good job of retaining the blood of Jesus Christ, the true meaning. Now, some of the terms may have been incorrect, but none of them, it was simply a translation error and not an implementation of man's doctrine. See, there's a big difference. Where when you come back to the Greek and Hebrew, and so when you look at this, at the true meaning of that word, then you can understand what they're saying. But if it's completely removed, the blood's removed, repentance is removed, then you have no basis of the true meaning of the Word of God. So it's corruption. Again, if it's only half-truth, then it's a lie. So many of these books that portray themselves as a Bible are a lie, because they're holding back the truth of what God really intended us to hear, what was really intended for us to learn, to teach, such as the Great Commission. I mentioned in some of my last broadcasts that I had healed a woman within this particular church in the area that I'm in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and I was rebuked for it. And in it was a situation where elders were removed because they stood by me in what I did. And so, therefore, I don't go there anymore. In fact, I'm not sure where I'm going to go to church anymore, because everyone has turned their back on the true blood of Jesus Christ to heal the sick, to set the captives free, to restore sight to the blind, to have the lame walk, to cast out demons, to bind up the brokenhearted. If your church isn't doing that, then they're doing some other doctrine. They're not doing what Jesus Christ called us to do. And that means, going full circle back to where have all the good men gone, that they're wounded, they're sick, they're perverse, they're under deception. That means that as Eve was deceived, and Adam being pretty much a knucklehead for allowing it to happen, put us in a situation of a curse. We're under the curse of the sins that were committed in the garden. And because of that, there was a legal right for the demonic to attack, to infest us, to tempt us into sin. Now, without sin, the demonic does not have a legal right to go any further. Now, we're under a curse. That means we die. We were to live forever. We were a body that was formed from the earth, Eve from the rib of Adam, and in it was breathed the breath of life and given a spirit from God, God being the Father of spirits. But in the fall, because of the curse, our bodies only retain for 70, 80, 90 years. And that is questionable now because of the toxins that are being plundered onto us, the GMO foods, the vaccinations that are given to us. These are all soft, slow kills. Our bodies were never intended for toxins. I did a teaching on chemical sensitivities. I've been through all that. And whenever I am exposed to diesel or benzene, like benzoate, a preservative in Pepsi and some of the others, I stay away from all soft drinks. That my body now, being traumatized from the chemicals that I was exposed to in the semiconductor industry, and I know a lot of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe you've been in other industries where you've been exposed to chemicals. That my immune system has been compromised. My body now, like anaphylactic shock from a bee sting, if I'm exposed to any of these things, which could be in cereal, which could be in soft drinks, MSGs and foods, then I literally get fluish. I get sick. I'm not able to think. I feel like I'm coming down with something, and my head's all foggy, and it literally takes a couple hours to come out of it, and literally 24 hours before I'm completely back. This is a type of situation that we're seeing all over the world. Now, because of the lack of glutathione in my system, I was one of the first to experience these symptoms compared to everybody else. And because of the symptoms coming, the onset of them coming early to me, I sought medical attention early on. Now, those that did not experience that situation, the symptoms that I was early on, went many, many years without detoxing, without purifying their body, with not under the understanding that their body was being polluted and that these toxins, these radicals, free radicals, were being placed into their fat cells. And now they're all sick. Now they have cancer, and many of them have died. And so even though I experienced the symptoms on early compared to everybody else, I believe one of the reasons that I'm here today is because 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I did something about it. Now, it's the same thing with sin. If you continue in your sin, you may not experience the demonic infiltration, the demonic manifestations of mental illness, of perversion, of sickness, of lawlessness, these things that would cause us to do things we wouldn't normally do. You may go through a long time, and then all of a sudden, like a cancer, one cell mutates into another, one demon manifests, and another one manifests. The next thing you know, you're demonized. Now, I've gone to great lengths in my new book, Second Heaven Invasion, and the introduction, after the introduction, to describe the difference between demonization and possession. Now, technically, there really isn't any difference, but the point of it is that if you are a Christian, if you have the blood of Jesus Christ, I'll put it as a definition that you cannot be, quote, possessed, because your spirit, now that you've accepted Jesus Christ, you've rendered over your spirit over to them. Now, what is your soul? Your soul is your emotions, your thoughts, your behaviors, your temperament, your personality. How your mind basically functions. That is who you are. Now, since we have a body that is in sin, because here's the logic of those that say, well, Christians can't have demons, really? Well, then we're a fallen man, and if we have been totally redeemed, as those say on the cross, and we have, when you accept Jesus Christ, yes, but you still die. Your body still decays. So your logic doesn't fit. And the point of it is, that means that your body can be infiltrated with demons if you sin. If I, right now, go to a paint store and say, I want some turpentine, and I pop open that can and I start sniffing it, I'm down. I'm not getting high. I'm unconscious. You go and sin, you're walking into that paint store, and you're grabbing that can of turpentine, and you're popping the lid open. You're willfully moving into a realm that you shouldn't go to. I know enough not to go into a paint store and open up a can of turpentine. I know that when I'm behind a truck that's spewing out diesel, and you guys that drive your diesels and think you can run them all the time, you're making people sick. And I don't know why you do it, but you do. Now, the point is that your body can be infested with demons, and the only way that it can be done is through a willful act of sinning, meaning I go to pornography, I go to a strip joint, I go and do drugs, I go and have sex outside of marriage, I fornicate, commit adultery, or practice divination, witchcraft, sorcery. Which sorcery involves pharmakia, taking drugs for higher enlightenment, which, boom, there we go with New Age. So these willful acts invite spirits in. So even if you're a Christian and you choose to go against what Christ had done for you, you're placing yourself back underneath the law that Christ fulfilled and took care of. But we have been called to a higher standard, to stand against the wiles of the enemy, to be an intercessor, to spiritually warfare against all demonic entities, because we've been given the power. So those who've been given much, much is expected. And for those who are not interceding, intercessories for those who are sick, those who need deliverance, then you're literally denying the power of Jesus Christ. You are denying the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of it, all the good men have gone. The churches have not stood up against abortion, against homosexuality. Oh, sure, they may view it, and they may give a small 30-second sermon, maybe 5 minutes, and then no one does anything about it. Your prayers are short. You really are there as a social gathering instead of being what God called you to do, and that's a mighty man and woman of God to stand in the authority, to put on the full armor of God, to raise the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and slice the devil down, slice the demons down, at sword's point, jab them, take them down. Now, there is a great deal of misconception, and I've run into it recently again, that are trying to discredit Paul's teaching. Now, even though Paul did not walk with Jesus, he certainly had an encounter with Jesus. On the road to Damascus, we know the story. He was blinded, he was knocked down, but yet he was restored, he was renewed, he was a sinner. So here's a classic great example to show that no matter how bad you are of an individual, no matter what you've done, because Paul was basically a murderer, he killed Christians, he did things that were an abomination before the Lord. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ, he was restored. So who cares about his past? If I got to worry about his past, then you got to worry about my past. I got to worry about your past. And believe me, I was a stinker. And I know that most of you out there listening were too. I've done things I am not proud of. But thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Because I would not be here today. And let me tell you, you wouldn't be here either. And with the times coming, if you don't get right, if you don't get the demons out of you, if you don't get healed, if you don't get delivered, you're going to go crazy. And let me tell you why. Let's say that I'm now sick with the flu, and I still go into the paint store and still order a can of turpentine. I'm already sick. I'm already thrown up. I'm already having all the other bad symptoms, and now I'm indulging into the paint thinner. I may not survive. My immune system, my respiratory system, my heart may just stop. Now, men's hearts will fail them for fear, for those things come upon the earth. That means that as bombs go off, dirty bombs, thousands of people are perishing at one time, earthquakes, volcano activity, meteorites, yeah, the whole world literally is going to go crazy. We know this through the book of Revelation. That as the masses of people who perish, their spirits will be released. So those who are in the occult, those who are Luciferians, those who are basically in the world that are not in Christ, and even those Christians who have not been delivered of their spirits, those spirits are now going to be seeking a new home. And so as you move into the situations that are coming, that as I mentioned, that since we have not been given a spirit of fear, that those who have a spirit of fear, it comes from Satan. And so without the empowerment and the deliverance of Jesus Christ, you're not going to be able to stand up against it. You're literally going to cower. You're going to turn and turn yourself in. You're going to do whatever it takes to do the opposite of what God has done for you, to save your hide, to save yourself. You brown shirts, that means those who have this brown shirt spirit, the Nazi spirit, that are willing to turn in their brethren, that are willing to turn in their neighbor, that are willing to turn against their parents or even against their spouses and their old children to save their hide. Cannibalism. That's going on right now in North Korea. That's going on in Afghanistan and Iraq. That's going on all over the world because people are starving. Now, we have the ability to feed every man, woman, and child. We have the ability to clean this world up through the Word of God, to allow Jesus Christ into our hearts, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, to remove evil. God does not wish that any should perish. That means every man, woman, and child has been called to God. But without the blood of Jesus Christ, good men do nothing. All the good men are gone. And so people are perishing and dying and have been for centuries because evil has been allowed to prevail. And now as we approach the end times, now that we get closer to the situation at hand, where there's going to be a harvest, a reaping across this planet. Those who are tares, meaning those who are wicked, are literally going to be removed and thrown into the fire. Now, what is the fire? The lake of fire. We have hell. And those who don't believe hell, again, you're under a great deception. Hell was created for the fallen angels. It was never created for man. But when man fell, then God had to rectify the situation because sin, willful sin, is not a part of his kingdom. There has to be a separation. If you have a company that has, let's say, a line drawn down the middle of it, and on one side are those workers who understand that in order for this company to be successful, especially, let's just say that they're a customer-oriented company, that in order to succeed, they have to give their customers what they want. Now, on the other side are a bunch of degenerates who could care less about customer service, who are only there to get a paycheck. As long as they're kept on that other side and not able to cross over and to influence the other employees to become lazy, to come to work late, to take long lunches, to not be courteous to their customers, then they're going to fail. So the example here is that because of there not being a defined line drawn down through what is good and evil, evil has migrated over to good. And now the tares outnumber the wheat. And as it says in Scripture, that the tares eventually will be thrown into the lake of fire. So those who are in Tarsus, those who are in hell, those who are in the confinement area who have died, because we see in Scripture that gulf fix, meaning that there's a separation of the spirit realm, that there cannot be a crossover. There's a separation that once you, in the twinkling of an eye upon death, there is a spiritual separation because our bodies have a spirit in it, and that spirit leaves and goes to wherever. It could be hell, or it could be in the bosom of Abraham. Now, eventually, when we come to the final heading of the end times, we're in them now, but there's still more to come, obviously, as we read in the book of Revelation, that the road is very narrow for those who come into the kingdom of God. But the road is very broad and very wide for those who are of the world and those who have rejected Jesus Christ. And those who rejected Jesus Christ are accursed. Those who blaspheme the Holy Spirit are cursed. Those who choose to sin are cursed. So, if you're a Christian now, and you were a heavy sinner, what Jesus did for us was give us the ability to eliminate, to eradicate, to remove evil. Now, there can be some deliverance upon the point that you accepted Jesus Christ. There is no denying it. I have had it done with myself. But what happens next is a war breaks out. Because now the spirits that you've allowed in, with, especially if you did witchcraft, especially if you did things that were considered divination, those are some of the nastiest spirits and some of the most powerful spirits that I've ever dealt with in the deliverance ministry. And a great deal of the people that I work with in deliverance and that I pray for as an intercessor, that the stronghold that had them, the entry point, the spirits that were asked in because of the divination that they indulged in, sit around like vultures on a tree waiting for you to do something that'll cause you to die. So once you enter into that and you accept Jesus Christ, these vultures mixed in with those that are predators, because a vulture basically is a scavenger. He won't kill, but he'll wait for death. And I've seen this especially in homicides. Sometimes bodies in the desert are found because of the vultures. They're circling around. They're waiting for the right time. Maybe the person hasn't completely perished yet. Sometimes we have found people that were able to survive because of this situation of being identified because of the vultures in the air, and many times it's already been too late. So when that war breaks out, you need to make a decision, even though you've accepted Jesus Christ, are you going to continue in the same path that you did before? So you may be, if I'm speaking to you men, you may be the man that was once good and now you're bad. And now you've accepted Jesus Christ, but that bad has become who you are. And so now you need to consecrate yourself. You need to remove those things that are part of your personality. Because your spirit, remember your spirit and your soul are two different things. You've got a body, soul, and spirit. You're a tripart being. You know, it goes along with the Trinity. You have to make a choice to eradicate, to eliminate, to get these things out of you that are influencing you to behave a certain way. This is why some Christians fall off the wagon. This is why they fall backward into the pit of snakes. And you've seen this in the church. You may be struggling yourself. I can't tell you how many people come to me, email me, and I talk to on Skype that are in such bad shape. They're Christians. They love the Lord, but they've never been fully delivered. The church has rejected them. They say, well, you don't have enough faith. This is why you're like, no. That person that said that to you, smack them, because they lied to you. They lied straight from the pit of hell. Their job, being a vessel of Jesus Christ, through the commandment of the Great Commission, should have laid hands on you and cast that spirit out. And to cast that spirit out at that very moment, that sickness, that anxiety, that fear, those nightmares, those night terrors, those things that were haunting you, go away. They literally leave. When those things are gone, because many of them are there to be blocking spirits, those blocking spirits are put in place, and there could be a handler on the outside. So you can have spirits inside, you can have spirits outside. I call the ones on the outside handlers. Now, you may have a strong man inside you, meaning that it was the generational curse that has been in your family, that is causing divorce, is causing alcoholism, drug addiction, sex addiction, causing you at one time to be a thief, even to be a murderer. And perversion, by the way, is based in that as well. So by removing that particular spirit and breaking the curse, meaning that from that point on in your life, you're no longer under that generational curse. That means the demons no longer have a legal right to you. And without that legal right, they can't do anything. They're the buzzards sitting in the tree waiting for you to do something, but they're no longer the predator that can take you down. That's the difference. That's huge. Whenever I hear of an animal attack, you know, California had them there for a while, where on some of the trails, people on bikes and hiking were attacked by mountain lions. Some were killed, some were injured, other people intervened, stopped it. I myself have been bitten to where I heard the flesh crunch the sound literally transferred through my body, through my bones, and I could hear it inside my head. I can imagine that when a wild animal, such as a lion, a mountain lion, that's capable of delivering tons of pressure, that can literally snap an arm, like a wolf can snap an arm or a leg because of the amount of tonnage of pressure within their jaws, even pit bulls, that how terrible it is to be in that situation, to be helpless. And unfortunately, those Christians who are not receiving deliverance are under the same circumstances, and they're hearing their bones crush within themselves. They're hearing the echo through their bones, because every night when they go to bed, they have nightmares. Through the day, they may see things. They have nervousness. They have anxieties that are keeping them from being the man and woman of God that God intended you to be. God loves you. He loves us all. He wants all of us to come to the understanding and to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, so though that curse from the garden can be removed, so we can enter into His courts and spend eternity with Him. Hey, that sounds like a win-win to me. And when you bring in Chrislam, when you bring in all these other Luciferian doctrines that are taking truth and mixing it with a lie, it is no longer the truth. There is only one God. There is only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. And any other way is not the way. It is a lie. I've mentioned before that when I was in electronics industry and the electrical, that there were standards that I had to go by. The test equipment had to be verified that it was accurate. Because if I had a piece of equipment, a test instrument, and I went to check a voltage, and it was 10 volts off, and let's say I'm in a 20-volt range, then I come there to check 20 volts and I'm 10. I mean, I'm really the half wrong. Well, that's unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable, and could be dangerous if it was a meter used, let's say, for verifying that the power has been turned off. And the power's on, but the meter doesn't work. It looks like it's off. You set the meter down, you reach in, grab the wires, you're done, or you're at least in trouble. This is the same situation when you're dealing with a Bible that is not truth. It's not calibrated, meaning that it came straight from the original scriptures. That instead of having man's interpretation, amplified Bible, okay, yeah, there's some good verses in there, but from A to Z, the blood's been removed. From A to Z, the truth, the knowledge of who we are in Christ, the power of the spoken word has been removed. That's dangerous, my friend, and let me tell you why. I mentioned it before. There was a time many years ago when I was fairly new in the deliverance ministry, and I was delivering somebody and all hell was breaking loose. Okay, still a controlled situation, wasn't quite the big exorcist that you see on TV, but it certainly was an exciting moment, let's say. Now, I had moved out of my chair and away from where I had my Bible, and I had moved around behind the individual that was manifesting, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me to use a particular verse, and I reached for the closest Bible to me, and I opened it up, which was an NIV. And I'm sorry that I don't remember the exact passage, but it wasn't there. It wasn't even there. And the demon knew that, and it laughed at me. It laughed at me so evil, it literally irritated me to the point that I had to take a step back to no longer be in the flesh, because that anger almost took me out of the spirit. And I went back to my King James, found the verse, and punished the demon for laughing at a man of God. How dare you, you foul spirits, attack the children of the Most High God? How dare you, Satan, lie to the people that causes destruction? How dare you, fallen angels, take over the areas of the nations, the principalities, those that convince and take leaders and deceive them to the point that they massively kill their own people. Look at Hitler. Look at Obama, for goodness sakes. And we even saw where the Bushes and what the destructions they've done in 9/11, in Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan. It has been a bloodbath. This nation, which has been under the great deception, because all the good men are gone, that we're in a situation that because God has been removed, the blood of Jesus Christ has been removed, no one's teaching deliverances within the church, that we're now in a situation that we're powerless, when in truth we've been given all power and all authority. But if you don't know it, then you're not going to act in it. And if you don't think you need to, you're not going to do it. Let's say there's a home invasion. Okay, you're sitting in your lazy boy chair and you're watching TV, and all of a sudden the front door breaks down. But you are so deceived, you think it's the mailman, and you don't do anything about it. Well, you're done. Where if you weren't deceived, if you weren't asleep, hopefully the door would have been a little more secure and locked, and or that you were ready with a weapon within reach, or at some point you're able to defend yourself, which means you're defending your family. Because at the moment that these things come into your life, come into you, the man of God, the one who's supposed to be in charge of your family, then the rest of your family is going to fall. They're going to perish. They're going to be victimized. They're going to be taken down like the wolf who goes after a sheep. You know, wolves, when they attack, they literally rip their prey apart. Where a lion at least kills to that that suffocates them, causes them to no longer to be coherent, to know that they're being ripped apart. Where a lamb, if you've got three wolves on it, it's alive till finally the last blood leaves the brain, which is terrorizing. So wolves are a representation of evil, and I can assure you in the last days, the wolves are coming. Whether it's government, whether it is boots on the ground from other governments, which has been allowed here by Obama, we see that the borders are wide open. And come on, you can't tell me that makes logic. And what's the matter with everybody? Why are the churches not screaming about this? Why are the congressmen not beating the desk and yelling, close those borders now? Why are their children on planes being brought into the United States? Look, I don't want to see children perish. I don't want to see them susceptible to anything, but they're being used. They're a pawn piece in this whole game. Because along with the children are coming criminals. Along with the children are coming those in the cartel, those who are in the occult. They practice the Luciferian. They cut heads off. They cut hearts out. They kill people for the fun of it. This nation is being infiltrated by demonic beings, people who are demonized, demon-possessed, and we're doing nothing. So where have all the good men gone? They've been lied to, they've been deceived, and now they're watching TV. Now they're going to a feel-good church. They're accepting Chrislam. They're not reading a Bible that still calls out for the blood of Jesus Christ to be enacted within a family. They're not taking it seriously. They've been vaccinated. They've been GMO'd. They've been sprayed to the point that they're dumbed down. And the education environment that we've all come up through now, I can remember when prayer was still in school. I'm of that age. I can remember when spanking, when swatting was still allowed, corporal punishment was still allowed. I can remember that if you disrupted the class, you got in trouble. Now everything's politically correct. Remember I said that those who control the definition of words, those who infest the laws, become lawless to think that all is the truth when it's not, that anything goes, not to offend somebody. Well, how about offending me? How about offending my God? How about offending Jesus Christ? How dare you take God out of school? How dare you take Jesus Christ out of the military? How dare you take the Ten Commandments out of the courthouses? There will be a price to pay. That time's coming. There is no question about that. That those who've committed such things, as referred to as terrors, that when that harvest, when that reaping comes, that death will become them, both in body and spirit. Now, if you're a Christian and you're being terrorized, you're being demonized, you're in a marriage that's hell, you've got a wife that's borderline, you've got a husband who's an alcoholic, you've got children who won't put down the video games or just into pornography or into drugs. This is exactly the plan of Satan, to destroy the family, to destroy the head of the household, to destroy the mother, to destroy the unity that was ordained by God. Because Satan hates you, he hates me, he hates children. He hates the unity of marriage. And by changing the laws, by changing the definitions of marriage, by changing those things that are not in line with God, because God is a God of order. God has called us to righteousness. God has called us to truth. And anything other than His Word is not truth. And if it does not compare to the Word of God, if you do not verify the spirit that you're dealing with, you're going to be deceived. You're going to be taken down a road that will lead you to destruction. And this country, the United States, unfortunately, has finally come to a point that that one more straw is going to break the camel's back. And for those who laugh at me, who think this is ridiculous and that Christians can't have demons and that you're going to be raptured out of here, good luck with that. Because let me tell you something, friend. Doesn't matter who you are, that if you're not in line with Christ, that God even takes Christians to the woodshed, that God will come to his own house first to clean it out. And those who are in the world will fall into the hands of a living God. And that is no place to be, because Satan has literally deceived you and turned you over to destruction. Those who are in witchcraft, those who are into New Age, those who think they're sorcerers and practice the occult and think that because you're part of the Luciferian Illuminati, that you will not see judgment, you will escape death. You are part of the equation for the destruction of man. Because man cannot be taken down unless he sins. And so Satan has deceived man in order to sin, to bring in other doctrines that are a religion, that are of hell itself. And then through this indoctrination, through the willful sins that are taking place, that this is why man eventually will fall. This is exactly what Satan wants. And I can assure you that as the sun will rise tomorrow, that Satan is alive and well. He is masterful in what he's doing. Those who are in the church are not doing deliverance. Those who are not doing spiritual warfare and praying for others and speaking the truth in love, there will be an accountability. Look, I'm not perfect. I'm still susceptible because I'm a man in the flesh. But I know that when I do something wrong, I need to get on my knees and I need to repent. Believe me, I've been tried even recently. And the situations at hand that come at me, believe me, you need to remember, people, that as a deliverance minister, intercessor, that since I war against your demons, my fight is big. Since the church has stood down, the weight is on the shoulders of those who are in the deliverance ministry. And by the way, God bless you for what you do. I know you don't get enough thanks, but your reward will be in heaven. And so just keep persevering, keep moving forward. Because a lot of times we don't see what we've done to prove out to be good. We may pray for somebody and never see them again. But their life radically changes in that they're saved and they're not going to spend eternity in hell. Now that's a feather in your cap. That's a crown on your head. You may not see it now, but you will. And just remember that. So pull yourself up. Understand who you are in Christ, to know that God loves you, that he's with you, and that you've been given all power and authority, and that you yourself should wear the fact that the devil attacks you so much like a badge. Because if you were doing evil, then you can't run into the devil going the same direction. You have to oppose, just like two locomotives on the same track. But we've got a lot more cars than he does. So he's going off the track. We're moving forward. But you have to remember that. Do not give up. Do not despair. Do not lose hope. For God loves you. And it's through the blood of the Lamb that you're going to prevail. Because I guarantee you that the moment you repent, the moment you get on your knees, and you turn to the Most High God through Jesus Christ and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, who paid the price for our sins, who empowered us to stand against the wild enemy, that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that relationship will be restored back to God. And in that, you'll understand who you are in Christ, and that you will become the man and woman of God that God intended you to be. Well, I'm out of time. God bless you. I'm glad to be back. I've been gone for a while. It's been quite an ordeal for the past 30 days, but again, go to my website, scotthensler.org, if you have any questions or need prayer. God bless you.
Thank you.